And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it's July 16th. This year is just dragging on. The powers that be have no idea what to do about this pandemic. 197th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. 168 days till the year is over. Now, the year 622 AD is the beginning of the Islamic calendar. 997, Battle of Spercheios. Bulgarian forces of Tsar Samuel are defeated by a Byzantine army under General Nikephoros Ouranos at the Spercheios River in Greece. 1054, three Roman legates break relations between Western and Eastern Christian Church through the act of placing an invalidly issued papal bull of excommunication on the altar of Hagia Sophia during Saturday afternoon divine liturgy. Historians frequently describe this event as the start of the East-West Schism, or Schism. 1212, Battle of Las Navas de Tolosa. After Pope Innocent III calls European knights to a crusade, forces of kings Alfonso VIII of Castile, Sancho VII of Navarre, and Peter II of Aragon, and Alfonso II of Portugal, defeat those of the Berber Muslim leader Almohad, marking a significant turning point in the Reconquista in the medieval history of Spain. 1232, the Spanish town of Arjona declares independence and names its native Muhammad ibn Yusuf as ruler. Marks Muhammad's first rise to prominence. Later became the Nazarene Emirate of Granada, the last independent Muslim state in Spain. 1251, which is celebrated by the Carmelite Order, the day when St. Simon Stock had a vision of the Virgin Mary. Now, apparently, looking at history, everybody was seeing the Virgin Mary. 1377, King Richard II of England is crowned. 1661, the first banknotes in Europe are issued by the Swedish bank Stockholm's Banco. 1683, Manchu Qing Dynasty naval forces under traitorous commander Xianlang defeat the kingdom of Tungning in the Battle of Pinghu in the Pescadores Islands. 1769, Father Junipero Serra founds California's first mission, Mission San Diego de Alcala. Over the following decades, it evolves into the city of San Diego, California. 1779, American Revolutionary War. Right infantry of the Continental Army seizes a fortified British Army position in a midnight bayonet attack at the Battle of Stony Point. 1790, District of Columbia is established as the capital of the U.S. after signature of the Residence Act. 1809, the city of La Paz in what's today Bolivia declares its independence from the Spanish crown. This happened during the La Paz Revolution and forms the Junta Tutiva, the first independent government in Spanish America, led by Pedro Domingo Murillo. 1849, Antonio Maria Claret y Clara founds the Congregation of the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, popularly known as the Claretian in Vic in the province of Barcelona in Catalonia, Spain. 1861, American Civil War. At the order of President Lincoln, Union troops begin a 25-mile march into Virginia for what had become the first Battle of Bull Run, first major land battle of the war, which at the end of the day was won by the Confederates. 1862, David Farragut's promoted to Rear Admiral, becoming the first officer in the United States Navy to hold an admiral rank. 1809, Persian Constitutional Revolution, Mohammed Al-Shah Kehar forced out as Shah of Persia and replaced by his son, Ahmad Shah Qajar. 1910, John Robertson Doigen makes the first flight of the Doigen Pusher biplane, first aircraft built in Australia. 1915, Henry James becomes a British citizen to highlight his commitment to Britain during the First World War. 1915, at Treasure Island on the Delaware River in the U.S., the first Order of the Era ceremony takes place, and the Order of the Era is founded to honor American Boy Scouts who best exemplify the Scout oath and law, which in the beginning was a very good concept, but like most things, it became the province of the descendants of special families. 1927, Augusto Cesar Sardino leads a raid on U.S. Marines and Nicaragua Guardia Nacional that had been sent to apprehend him in the village of Acatal, but is repulsed by one of the first dive bombing attacks in history. 1931, Emperor Haile Selassie signs the first constitution of Ethiopia. 1935, the world's first parking meters installed in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And when the other city leaders around the country saw that it was a great way to make money by doing nothing, man, they dove right into it. 1941, Joe DiMaggio hits safely for the 56th consecutive game, a streak that still stands as a Major League Baseball record. 1942, Holocaust, Ville d'Hiv Roundup. The government of Vichy, France, orders the mass arrest of 13,152 Jews who were held at the Velodrome de Hiver in Paris before deportation to Auschwitz. 1945, World War II, the heavy cruiser USS Indianapolis leaves San Diego with parts for the atomic bomb Little Boy. They were taking it to Tinian Island. 1945, Manhattan Project. The atomic age begins when the U.S. successfully detonates a plutonium-based test nuclear weapon near Alamogordo, New Mexico. 1948, filing a token resistance, the city of Nazareth, revered by Christians as the hometown of Jesus, capitulates to Israeli troops during Operation Dekel in the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. 1948, the storming of the cockpit of the Miss Macau passenger seaplane operated by a subsidiary of the Cathay Pacific Airways marks the first aircraft hijacking of a commercial plane. 1950, Chaplin Medic Massacre. American POWs are massacred by North Korean Army. 1951, King Leopold III of Belgium abdicates in favor of his son, Bedouin I of Belgium. 1956, Ringling Brothers and Bonham & Bailey closes its last big tent show in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Due to changing economics, all subsequent circus shows will be held in arenas. 1965, the Mont Blanc Tunnel linking France and Italy opens. 1965, South Vietnamese Colonel Pham Ngoc Thieu, formerly undetected communist spy and double agents hunted down and killed by unknown individuals after being sentenced to death in absentia in February 1965 as a result of a February 65 coup attempt against Nguyen Khan. 1969, Apollo program. The Apollo 11, the first mission to land astronauts on the moon, is launched from the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Kennedy, Florida. 1979, Iraqi President Ahmad Hassan al-Bakir resigns, replaced by Saddam Hussein. 1983, Sikorsky S-61 disaster. Helicopter crashes off the island of Sicily. 20 people die. 1990, Luzon earthquake strikes the Philippines with an intensity of 7.7. 1990, the Parliament of the Ukrainian SSR declares state sovereignty over the territory of the Ukrainian SSR. 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn, and his sister Lauren Bassett die when the Piper Saratoga PA-32R aircraft he was piloting crashed in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. A I've read a lot about that. There's every possibility that was sabotage. 2004, Millennium Park considered he was going to run for president, which would not have suited certain people. 2004, Millennium Park, considered Chicago's first most ambitious early 21st century architectural project, is opened to the public by Mayor Richard Daley. 2007, an earthquake of magnitude 6.8 and 6.6 aftershock occurs off the Nigerian coast. It's Niigata coast of Japan, kills 8, injures at least 800, and it damaged a nuclear power plant. 2013, as many as 27 children die, 25 others are hospitalized after eating lunch served at their school in eastern India. 2015, 4 U.S. Marines and 1 gunman die in a shooting spree targeting military installations in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 2019, a 100-year-old building in Mumbai, India collapses, kills 10, and leaves a lot of others trapped. A lot of births and deaths on this particular date in history. Holidays and observances, Christian Feast Day, Gandolfus of Tongeren, Hellier, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Feast of De La Tirana in Tarapacá region in Chile, Reneldis, Engineers Day in Honduras, and Holocaust Memorial Day in France. Well, there are a good many other historical events that took place on this date. 463 was the start of the lunar cycle of Hilarius. 622, the Muslim era begins with Muhammad's flight from Mecca to Medina. 1054, Michael Aurelius excommunicated of Constantinople. 1212, Battle of Las Navas de Tolosa ends Muslim power in Spain. 1429, Joan of Arc and the French army enter the city of Reims. 1439, kissing is banned in England in an attempt to stop the Black Death from spreading. 1519, is a public debate between Martin Luther and the theologian Johann Eck at Pleissenburg Castle in Leipzig. During that debate, Luther denied the divine right of the Pope. The theory up to that point in time was whatever the Pope said was what God wanted. 1683, Turkish troops under Kara Mustafa reach Vienna. 1755, John Adams graduates from Harvard. 1789, French King Louis XVI reinstates Jacques Necker as finance minister following riots at his dismissal. 1798, the U.S. Public Health Service forms and U.S. Marine Hospital is authorized. 1801, Pope Pius VII and the First Consul Napoleon sign a concord. 1819, Fabian Gottlieb von Bellinghausen set sail to explore Antarctica for the Tsar Alexander I. 1800, let's see what else we got. 1880, Dr. Emily Stowe becomes the first woman licensed to practice medicine in Canada. 1897, a South African committee investigating the Jameson raid releases its report, found that it was conducted almost implicitly through the support and encouragement of Cecil Rhodes, a British businessman and imperialist politician, and the mining houses in the Transvaal. 1900, Russia launches an offensive against the Chinese in Manchuria. 1900, a report appears in London, all foreigners in Peking, China, have been massacred. But the report, though proved to be false, helps mobilize support for relief for the foreigners. 1904, the islands of Manu's group, Samoa, is ceded to the U.S. by their chiefs. 1921, encouraged by the British, King Constantine of Greece launches a drive to take Asia Minor from nationalists under Mustafa Kemal Ataturk. Ataturk was actually president and founder of the Republic of Turkey. 1940, Hitler ordered preparations for Operation Sea Lion, which was the invasion of Britain. 1951, one of the most boring novels known to mankind, Catcher in the Rye, by J.D. Salinger, was published by Little Brown and Company. U.S. Marine Major John Glenn sets a transcontinental speed record in 1957. 3 hours, 28 minutes, and 8 seconds. Let's see. 1971, Franco, the leader of Spain, appointed Prince Juan Carlos as deputy. He's one of my cousins, Juan Carlos. 1980, what else we got, if anything. 1980, Ronald Reagan nominated for U.S. president by the Republicans in Detroit. 1980, the Victorian era greatly prized education, with the seemingly unending stream of technology, electricity, chemistry, engineering. There doesn't seem to be any limit to what mankind could achieve. Literacy rates rose sharply, and enrollment in public secondary schools blossomed. But there was a ceiling, and for much of the 19th and 20th centuries, college education was a privilege reserved only for the elite. Now, beginning this weekend, I start doing my televised version where I'm going to talk about America's royalty and what they've done. Now, the sense of being an elite, a member of the elite, being groomed as the nation's future leaders, actually gave birth to the collegiate secret society. The guiding idea was that solidarity and comradeship of college life should extend into later years. And it would create a powerful but invisible network that would help move careers forward. Phi Beta Kappa, founded in 1776 at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, is often cited as the first and most prominent secret society, collegiate secret society, that is. But its roots go back to the earlier Flathead Club that had Thomas Jefferson among its members. Excuse me, not Flathead, even though most of them were Flatheads and Fatheads too, but the Flat Hat Club. Now, Flat Hat was a Latin letter group. Phi Beta Kappa was the first to use a Greek motto. The motto translated was "Love of Learning is a Guide for Life." Initiates had to undergo an initiation ritual, swear an oath, learn symbols and mottos by which members could identify themselves. 1832, after Phi Beta Kappa became an open society, two students at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut, formed a new secret society. It was called the Skull and Bones Society. And it developed a reputation as being maybe the most influential behind-the-scenes power network in modern America. You can't apply to be a member. Every year, 15 Yale juniors are tapped, as it's called, for lifetime admittance to the club, which is housed in a wonderless tomb on High Street on the university. Like the Freemasons and the Illuminati, Skull and Bone members known as Bonesmen are rumored to be engaged in all sorts of plots and conspiracies. It's said that members of Skull and Bones actually control the CIA. And over the years, Bonesmen have filled many leadership positions in public and private life. In fact, in a 2004 presidential election, both the Democratic and the Republican nominees were members of Skull and Bones. John Kerry, who was a member in 1966, and George Bush, who was a member in 1968. Now, even among secret societies, there are positive societies and negative societies. And what's been called one of the most odious of secret societies is the Ku Klux Klan. It was born of a reactionary movement to preserve the white Protestant character of post-Civil War America. And this was done through intimidation and violence. Now, according to legend, it was formed by General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who'd been a Confederate general. It originated in December 1865 in response to social changes in the South during Reconstruction and an unprecedented rise of immigration into America. Most of these immigrants came from Eastern and Southern Europe, which were predominantly Catholic. At the peak of the influx in 1907, more than 1.2 million people immigrated to the U.S., often forced into that move by poverty or persecution at home. By 1850, Catholics had become America's largest single denomination. By 1890, their population actually tripled. And this led to increasing tensions, particularly in the South. Now, the Ku Klux Klan, or the KKK as it was called, was formed by six Confederate officers from Tennessee. And the plan was to restore white Protestant supremacy at the expense of Catholics, Jews, and African Americans. The Klansmen set out to terrorize their victims through violence and intimidation, often dressed up as ghosts in colorful robes. Like Freemasons, they referred to their local organizations as lodges, led by a supreme leader called the Grand Wizard. Now, originally the Ku Klux Klan, which was loosely inspired by the Greek word for circle, kyklos, saw themselves as a Christian bulwark against the disintegration of white Protestant society. It was a heroic view of Klansmen as proud frontiersmen that's extolled in books such as The Klansman by Thomas Dixon, which formed the basis for D.W. Griffith's 1915 film, The Birth of a Nation. Because most members were hooded and their identities hidden, the group attracted many prominent businessmen, politicians, and even police officers. Eventually, reports of floggings and castrations and lynchings forced Washington to act. 2 years after Congress issued the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871, it was believed the KKK had disbanded. But up until the early 1900s, even here in El Paso, if you weren't a member, you couldn't be elected to office. Now, though the resurgence of the Klan in the 1960s was limited, this period saw some of its most vicious acts. In 1964, the KKK was implicated in the murder of civil rights workers in Mississippi. The 1963 bombing of a Baptist church in Birmingham, Alabama, that killed four children. and the assassination of activists for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Despite the violence and its alliance with other white supremacist groups, the KKK has never been declared a criminal or a terrorist organization. But neither has Al-Qaeda. In 1915, the movement resurfaced, this time led by a Freemason member of an American offshoot of the Knights Templar by the name of William J. Simons, or Simmons. Positioning Klansmen as white knights is romanticized in Birth of a Nation. This second KKK was more rigorously organized and financed. Dressed in white garb and hoods, the society now focused on intimidating minority populations in the South. They did this through parades and cross burnings and other demonstrations. The movement grew by leaps and bounds, in part because of its effective recruitment efforts among Freemasons. By 1923, 500,000 of the 4 million-strong KKK men and women were also members of Masonic lodges. And the Klans began to refer to themselves as the Invisible Empire, a network of sympathizers working behind the scenes to preserve Protestant white America. Unfortunately for them, the Depression decimated its ranks, and Congress suppressed the KKK for a second time in 1944, though this suppression didn't last for long. Civil rights movement of the late 50s and 60s prompted a resurgence of Klan activity. This time, though, it attracted only minor support from among the Southern population. Though the Klan was never fully eradicated, some sources put today's membership at about 8,000. From folks I know and things I've heard, I think it's much, much more than that. You know, we talked about the Hongmen yesterday. But another secret society are the Chinese Triads. In fact, they're one of the largest international criminal organizations in Asia, deeply embedded control of local markets for drugs and gambling, prostitution, and sex trafficking. And they're particularly powerful in Hong Kong and Taiwan, as well as in Chinese communities in Vietnam, Australia, Canada, the U.S., and Singapore. The Triads actually trace their origins to the what's called the heroic era of the secret society of the Hong, which itself was an offshoot of the 18th century Tian De Hui resistance movement fighting the Qing dynasty. But where some Hong men remained true to the ideals of patriotism, loyalty, and justice, others drifted into criminality, exploiting the political chaos of China in the early part of the 20th century. Originally, it was based in China's main cities. And the Triads and the other secret societies were rigorously persecuted by Mao Zedong, and after his defeat of Chiang Kai-shek, head of the Chinese nationalist movement, the subsequent founding of the Communist Party and Communist China in 1949. In response to this suppression, if you will, Triad societies broke up into smaller units, each of which established itself in British-ruled Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other Chinese centers throughout Southeast Asia. By 1950, it was believed there were about 300,000 Triad members active in Hong Kong alone. Now, they modeled themselves on the Italian Mafia and the Japanese Yakuza. New members subjected to vigorous vetting and initiation ceremonies and have to pledge an oath. And so in this particular case, they pledged 36 oaths. And like the Mafia, each Triad group has full control of all criminal activity in a particular neighborhood or region. The 1970s heroin epidemic in Europe and the U.S. presented the Triads with a rare opportunity to expand their business. They used opium smuggled from the so-called Golden Triangle in Myanmar, Thailand, and Laos. In the 1990s, the Triads diversified into illegal copying and sales of U.S. software and DVDs, made huge profits in the face of a tepid response from local law enforcement. Recently, they've switched to marketing counterfeit luxury goods from top-selling U.S. and European brands. But competition from other criminal organizations and police intervention have weakened the Triads in recent years, though they have not done anything to control them, as it were. Well, this next secret society actually is religion-based. And within most religions, there are secret societies. People outdo themselves to show that they're more religious than their neighbors. In this particular case, we're talking about Opus Dei. Conspiracy theorists in books such as The Da Vinci Code have fostered the idea Opus Dei is a secret society with a distinct agenda. They want to roll back the reforms of the Second Vatican Council and turn the church to near medieval compliance and obedience. Now, on the surface, this is largely false, but it is true that Opus Dei represents a strong reactionary current in Catholic thought. Now, Opus Dei is a Latin phrase that means work of God, founded by a Spanish priest named José María Escriva de Balaguer. It was formed in Madrid, Spain, in 1928. Now, at the time, Spain was ruled by a junta led by General Miguel Primo de Rivera, amid growing tensions between liberal Republicans and ultra-conservative monarchists. Less than a decade later, it precipitated the Spanish Civil War. In this cauldron of political upheaval, Escriva urged Spanish laymen to return to Catholicism as the passionate, all-pervasive experience of the past. For Opus Dei, everybody's called to a life of holiness, not just priests and nuns and monks. According to Escriva, life should be lived as a continuous path to ever deeper piety and sanctity. And although many of the society's aims are laudable, such as its emphasis on prayer and charity, it's also drawn criticism for its advocacy of mortification to share the suffering of Christ. Now, this may run from the benign practice of fasting to abstention from sex to the use of hair shirts, which irritate the skin, or wearing spiked metal chains around the arm or leg. In more extreme cases, adherents may flagellate themselves to deny the urges of the flesh. Society includes both lay supernumeraries who are embedded in society and numeraries who live in dedicated facilities and often serve as clergy. But its findings for secrecy has spawned a number of conspiracy theories. Historians have linked elements of the society to the Spanish fascist dictator Francisco Franco. Others, such as the British journalist Michael Walsh, have tied Opus Dei to Vatican banking and corruption scandals in the 1980s. Today, the organization is making a major effort to be more transparent. It has a membership that's thought to be over 90,000 lay people in about 90 countries. Then we have groups that foster what they believe are almost religious organizations. I'm talking about the Nazi occult groups, of which there are a number. German resentment against the 1919 Versailles Peace Treaty and the Worldwide Depression of 29 led to the rise of an Austrian ideologue and former postcard painter named Adolf Hitler. He was actually a member of the a secret member of the military. He was a confidential informant, and he was sent to infiltrate the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Yes, he infiltrated it, all right. He became its leader. And as head of the NSDAP, he was appointed Chancellor of Germany in 1933 and soon instituted a Nazi regime of terror. Now, one of the prime instruments of his terror was the Schutzstaffel, the Protection Squad, more commonly known as the SS. It was actually originally formed to be his bodyguards. SS Reichsführer Heinrich Himmler was fascinated with secret societies and keen to discover what occult or other esoteric rituals they may have indulged in. He deliberately modeled the organization of the SS on the Teutonic Knights and designed their officer uniform using runes and other symbols derived from pagan German cults. To Himmler's way of thinking, SS officers were descendants of the great knightly orders that would strive tirelessly to restore a pure Germanic culture in the nation. Such reverence for the country's ancient past, Himmler and his supporters believed, would instill not only obedience but a greater patriotism at the expense of organized religion and give the Nazi regime the legitimacy it craved and needed. This purification, he believed, would eventually engulf Europe and lead to a radical Nordung, or New Order, which would be under Germany's leadership, of course. And this, as some historians have argued, Himmler tried to emulate the Jesuit order in its mission to cleanse Europe from the Reformation. Now, to justify their racist ideologies, the Nazis turned to occult movements like the Thule Society, 1920s occult movement that attracted many early Nazi sympathizers and would ultimately become the basis for the foundation of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Long before the Nazis came to power, Thule initiates had to swear that no Jewish or colored blood flows in either his or his wife's veins, and their ancestry was free of any colored races. And these and other groups, including the 19th century Aristotelists, extolled the idea that German people, noble Aryans who had fought against the evil of degenerate races for thousands of years. In fact, in one particularly infamous portrait known as the Standard Bearer, which was painted about 1935, Hitler is shown as an armored knight of the Holy Grail, leading his nation to redemption with a huge swastika flag. Just as the Teutonic Knights had once proudly carried their insignia of the Black Cross into combat. That was the original thought behind the swastika. Now, the quasi-religious nature of Nazi propaganda was not lost on Winston Churchill. He wrote that Hitler conjured up the fearful idol of an all-devouring Moloch, of which he was the priest in the incarnation. Now, according to the Bible, Moloch was a Phoenician idol certain Israelites revered by sacrificing their children with fire. Now, some historians have argued that the Third Reich's obsession with mysticism and the occult was one reason why the Nazi terror continues to fascinate authors and filmmakers. I mean, you don't have to look at the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark to see what I'm talking about. Now, official Nazi propaganda deliberately harked back to classical and early Christian ideals, as expressed by sculptors such as Arno Brecker, Fritz Klimt, and Joseph Thorek. Other favorite artists of the Third Reich included Adolf Weissel and Sepp Howells. His medieval motifs in their depiction of simple farm folks, and they painted young maidens as innocent, pious Madonnas. These images were meant to replace Christian devotion as espoused by the German Evangelical Church with piety and reverence for the Nazi state. To them, the state was all-inclusive. Well, the end of the World War, which was the largest and deadliest war ever fought on the planet, over 60 million casualties that we know about, left much of Europe's cities and institutions in total ruin. And it dealt a heavy blow to Christianity in Italy, as many wondered how God could tolerate such destruction. And it was in this vacuum that Italian communist movements tried to fill. In the closing days of the war, the Soviet Red Army had penetrated deep into Eastern Europe. Stalin saw this as an opportunity to destabilize other European nations as well, particularly Greece and Italy, by secretly funding their communist movements. And this greatly alarmed the Italian political right. In response, a group of businessmen, politicians, and journalists decided to create a secret society to fight the growing influence of the Italian Communist Party in every possible way. To camouflage its activities, they set themselves up as a Masonic lodge because Freemasonry was allowed under the new Italian Constitution. Led by a shadowy banker named Licio Gelli, the group became known as Propaganda Due, or Propaganda II. Inspired by a 19th century lodge called Propaganda that had numbered many prominent noblemen and officials among its members. Starting in the 1960s, Propaganda Du, or P2 as it became to be called, set about to deter and intimidate union officials and left-wing sympathizers through a steadily escalating program of terror, corruption, and even murder. 1977, P2 reached its high mark with the secret takeover of the Corriere della Sera, one of Italy's most prominent newspapers. But shortly after this, the group was implicated in the murder of a journalist, Carmine Pecorelli, who was investigating the murder of former Prime Minister Aldo Moro. The 1982 collapse of Banco Ambrosiano, as well as other financial institutions associated with P2 member Michele Sadona, exposed many of the secret society's criminal deeds. Italians were shocked to discover that many prominent Italians had been members of this state within a state, including Silvio Berlusconi, the future prime minister. Well, there was a general house cleaning, but all the organization did was go underground. Now, World War II also gave rise to another secret society, known as the Odessa. Now, the collapse of the Third Reich in Germany left many leading Nazi officials and officers scrambling to escape from the grip of Allied forces. They all wanted to start a life anew in South American countries that had always been sympathetic to fascism. And to facilitate their getaway, several underground networks were created, including one known as Odessa. By 1944, after the Allied invasion of Normandy and colossal Nazi defeats on the Eastern Front, the writing was pretty much on the wall for a lot of prominent officials of the Third Reich, particularly members of the Schutzstaffel of the SS, who had been involved in war crimes. According to the famous Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal, this was the moment when certain senior SS officials decided to develop a secret organization to spirit themselves, their colleagues, and their families to safety under the inevitable collapse of Germany's armed forces. This underground network became known as ODESSA, which is an acronym of the Organisation der Einmaligen SS Angehörigen, organization of former SS associates. Using its fabulous wealth, largely derived from the theft of Jewish property and funds, Odessa officials began to lay the groundwork for delivering its members to countries such as Paraguay and Argentina, with which the Hitler regime had always maintained cordial relationships. This included the wholesale development of new identities and what's called legends for SS officers and their families, an elaborate plan to whisk them out of Europe. Among others, Odessa members used forged papers to be hired by the U.S. occupation forces as drivers for U.S. Army trucks, which shuttled people and goods across Europe. I might point out the secret history of the Odessa inspired the 1972 novel The Odessa File, written by best-selling British author Frederick Forsyth. In this book, a German reporter tries to track down an SS concentration camp commander named Eduard Rushman, known as the Butcher of Riga. The book was made into a movie in 1974, starring Maximilian Schell as Rushman. The film was such a success it led to the actual unmasking of the real-life Eduard Rushman, who was found to be living in Argentina. Now, secret transit points were established along the German border with Austria and Switzerland, where former SS officials, including war criminals and on the run, were handed over to the next stage of their journey. Among these were Josef Mengele, a Nazi doctor who conducted hideous medical experiments on concentration camp inmates at Auschwitz. And Adolf Eichmann, a senior SS officer, is one of the masterminds behind the organization of the Holocaust, or the Final Solution, as Hitler called it. And Odessa was hardly the only underground network. Many others catered to particular branches of the Nazi war machine. A 2012 study estimated as many as 9,000 Nazi officers and officials ultimately found refuge in South American countries. Most of them settled in Argentina, which at the time was ruled by President Juan Perón. Having served as a military attaché in Italy under Benito Mussolini, Perón believed by offering safe haven to senior Nazi officials, Argentina could benefit from superior German technology. The Allied powers, including the U.S. and Soviet Union, likewise tried to recruit prominent German scientists. Operation Paperclip is a prime example. Although Mengele lived out his life in comfort in Brazil, despite many extradition requests, Adolf Eichmann was actually seized in Buenos Aires by an Israeli Mossad team and taken to Israel. He stood trial in Jerusalem and was hung June 1, 1962. The interesting thing about Odessa, it operated with the assistance of the Catholic Church. And the number of people that were spirited out of Germany was just amazing. We have the next one, which may or may not be a legitimate secret society. It's known as the Priory of Sion. And even seasoned historians can be fooled by sensational discoveries that claim to undo Christian beliefs. In the 1960s, a French author named Pierre Plantard published a detailed history backed by medieval documents of a secret organization called the Priory de Sion. It was reportedly founded by the Crusader knight Godfrey de Bouillon in the Kingdom of Jerusalem in 1099. Now, Godfrey de Bouillon became the King of Jerusalem, which is still a hereditary title to this day in Europe. Devoted to preserving the lineage of the Merovingian dynasty that ruled France for close to 300 years, it claimed to have evidence that this line of kings emanated directly from Jesus and the woman he was said to have married, Mary Magdalene. Now, according to this particular theory, Joseph Arimathea smuggled Mary and her children out of Palestine and took them to southern France. Now, to substantiate their sensational discovery, Plantard and a colleague named Philippe de Cerise produced documents that purported to contain secret information about the priory. And these had allegedly been found in 1891 inside a pillar of a church at René La Chateau. And, of course, to make it real good, there was a treasure involved. Now, did the Priory de Sion exist? I have seen evidence that says it does. I've seen evidence that says it doesn't. Only time will tell. I will say that in doing my family lineage, it traced back to the Merovingians. So, you know, they actually existed. But as I say, time will tell. Now, another secret society that caused a great deal of trouble during its existence was the Red Army faction. In the 1970s, the world was rocked by a series of terrorist attacks that often involved the hijacking of airliners or the assassination of prominent figures. And although few of these attacks were really related, the perpetrators seemed to be inspired by a common idea. They wanted to destabilize the established order of Western democratic societies at the peak of their prosperity. In Italy, for example, there was the rise of a secret terrorist group known as the Brigata Rossa, or the Red Brigade. This Marxist guerrilla group wanted to overthrow Italy's parliamentary democracy, which admittedly often suffered from paralysis, with no fewer than 20 different governments between 1945 and 1979. To instigate the revolution, the Red Brigade resorted to bank robberies, kidnappings, and even drug trafficking. Their victims included James Dozier, a U.S. Army general and a NATO deputy chief of staff. After he'd been held for 42 days, an Italian commando team located him and extracted him safely. Former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro wasn't so lucky. They held him for 55 days, then they killed him. Soon after that, a series of highly publicized arrests put an end to the group's terrorist activities. Now, the Red Brigades had a parallel in the far more violent exploits of another terrorist group, the German Rote Armeefaktion. Red Army Faction, or RAF as they were called. Originally known as the Baader-Meinhof Gang, the RAF was founded in 1970 by a number of activists, including a career criminal named Andreas Bader and journalist Ulrike Meinhof. And where the Red Brigade had been inspired by the instability of Italy's democracy, the RAF was primarily motivated by the continued role of former Nazi officials in the German Republic. As evidence of that, they cited Germany's decision to ban the Communist Party and the election of a former Nazi Party member, Kurt George Kiesinger, as Prime Minister or Chancellor. In response, the RAF fashioned itself as a people's defense organization with the goal of establishing a Marxist-Leninist state. Modern evidence has shown that many of the RAF's activities were supported and funded by the Stasi, the East German intelligence organization. From 1970 onward, the RAF engaged in a number of bombings, kidnappings, and assassinations that culminated in what became known as the Deutsche Herbst, the German Autumn of 1977. In that year, RAF murdered Germany's Attorney General, Siegfried Buback, well as one of Germany's most prominent industry leaders, Hans Martin Schreyer. Schreyer, who served as the head of two powerful employer organizations, had also been an SS officer in the Nazi regime. And compounding this drama was the hijacking of a Lufthansa aircraft by the terrorist wing of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. These events convinced the German political establishment the company was on the brink of chaos and a special crisis team was formed. The collapse of East Germany in 1989 robbed the RAF of its principal funding, and the raid in 1993 eliminated the few surviving ringleaders. It formally disbanded itself in 1998. On October 13, 1977, a Lufthansa Boeing 737 en route to Palma de Mallorca was hijacked by four terrorists of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, eventually landed in Mogadishu, Somalia. Terrorists demanded the release of 10 imprisoned RAF leaders as well as $15 million in cash, small unmarked bills, of course. After the captain, Jürgen Schumann, was shot, special German counterterrorism commandos known as GSG-9 stormed the plane and miraculously saved all 86 passengers. Three terrorists were killed, and the fourth, a woman named Shahela Andras, was taken into custody. Now, interestingly enough, I have discovered in my dealings in everyday life the existence of a group that thinks itself to be royalty here in America. And they hold prominent positions. They were elected. And once they get elected, they don't pay any attention to the people that put them in office. We're going to start filming that this weekend. Well, the last secret society I'm going to talk about today is the Knights of Malta. January 2017, the world was treated to an unusual spectacle. Pope Francis, the spiritual leader of 1.2 billion Catholics, demanded a resignation of Matthew Feistig, Grand Master of the Knights of Malta. The unusual confrontation highlighted the tensions between a forward-thinking pope and the oldest surviving civil society in the world. Like other knightly orders featured in my talks, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta originated in the heyday of the Crusades. From 1099 to 1187, Crusaders ruled over four separate states. The Kingdom of Jerusalem, initially read by Godfrey of Bouillon as Advocate Sancti Sepulchre, or Defender of the Holy Sepulchre. In other words, he was King of Jerusalem. Palestine, impoverished after 460 years of Muslim rule, was hardly in shape to host the thousands of pilgrims who would be coming to the newly liberated Holy Land. Under the 25-year rule of the sixth Fatimid Caliph, Al-Hakim, all Christian churches and hospices, as well as Jewish synagogues, had been destroyed. And Christian pilgrims who, against all odds, still made it into the Holy Land during this period came back with hair-raising stories of abuse, robbery, and beatings. 1048, about 50 years before the First Crusade, a group of Italian merchants from Amalfi decided to establish a hospital in Jerusalem with the blessing of a more moderate caliph, Ma'ad al-Mustansir Billa. After the Crusaders arrived, they paid tribute to this courageous initiative by making the hospital the center of a new knightly order, the Knights Hospitaller. Though laymen, the knights agreed to be bound by monastic vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Now, from a distance, these romantic ideas have a great deal of drawing power. But in actuality, they don't amount to much. In 1113, Pope Pascal II placed the order under the direct supervision of the Vatican, freeing it from local interference. But after the military situation changed and the last Christian fortress at Acre fell to the Muslim armies, the order moved to Cyprus and later Rhodes. And here the Knights Hospitaller built a powerful fleet to help defend Christian Europe against naval forays of the Islamic Empire. But the ships of Suleiman the Magnificent proved too strong, and the Knights were forced to relocate once more, this time to the island of Malta. The ensuing Reformation further decimated its ranks, with many converting to Protestant faith. But this also galvanized the order as a new and potent force in the Counter-Reformation, fiercely devoted to traditional Catholic doctrine. On Malta, the order remained as the newly Christian Knights of Malta until the Napoleonic Wars forced them to move to Rome, where they're headquartered to this day. Here the Maltese Knights returned to their founding principles, large-scale hospital care and charitable programs for the indigent. 2013, the order celebrated its 900th anniversary. But shortly after that, it ran afoul of the growing conflict between the conservative and progressive wings of the Vatican. It was alleged as part of the order's programs, condoms had been distributed to women in Myanmar, who had been reportedly forced into prostitution to protect them from AIDS. And if this was true, it of course would have been a direct violation of Catholic doctrine. Now, the Knights of Malta developed a reputation as the upper elite of lay Catholics. Ensconced in a fancy Renaissance palace in Rome, the Knights wear fancy red uniforms with gold epaulets. Now, this was bound to conflict with a Pope who tried to return to the humility of Jesus of the Gospels. The fact that in 1113 the Knights gained a direct reporting line to the Pope came back to haunt them 900 years later. The Grand Master, Matthew Festing, was asked to resign, and a previously dismissed Grand Chancellor, Albrecht Freiherr von Bösselager, was reinstated. Well, we'll be talking more about some of this activity tomorrow, but for right now, we've come to the end of tonight's show. You've been listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. And until tomorrow, have a great evening.